Twist and Shout, Scottish band, of course, doing great stuff still in the 21st century, as indeed is SFX magazine, especially when it produces a wonderful ultimate sci-fi quiz book and ensures that its ace director, Richard Edwards, can actually go immediately with about 30 seconds' notice from the joys of San Diego's Comic-Con. Yes, it's happened again on an annual basis to the Midweek Drive. How are you, Richard Edwards? Welcome.
Very good. Yeah,
good.
From San Diego, California.
Oh, well, we've been to California earlier on the show with Arthur Weingarten, and indeed we pretty much stay in California now for probably the rest of the show. Duncan Goose, sadly, we haven't been able to reach, but we haven't really. Is this day one of the San Diego Comic Con Media Fest?
Yeah, it's kind of day 0.5 because it doesn't technically start till tomorrow. You know, but today is preview night, so from about 6 o'clock they'll open the main convention floor and people can run in and sort of get their exclusive toys and what have you. So it's sort of all winding up now throughout today. Yes, San Diego will be getting busier and busier as everyone comes into town.
Well, once again, I have to say, looking at issue 276 of SFX magazine, the Ed Zone, we see that you've actually not only managed to Ghostbuster bomb, because that's the only word you can actually say, Ghostbuster bomb the bridge of the Starship Enterprise with a t-shirt wearing Richard Edwards wearing Venkman stents and a Spengler on there, but clearly you're raving about the fact that Shane Black is calling out Marvel and Disney's crazy decision to veto a female villain in Iron Man 3 because a toy won't sell as well if it's female.
Oh.
I pass this over to yourself, Katie. You know, it's just, you know, whoa. A toy will not sell as well if it's female. So Barbie, forget it. It's lost, you know. Lost in the whole sort of principles of time and so on. As you can tell, Richard, we were somewhat discombobulated about that side of things there. But nevertheless, great question.
Well, it's not the first time it's happened this year, because it happened in Star Wars at Christmas, where the Millennium Falcon toy came out, the Lego toy, and despite the fact that Rey flies it for most of the movie, she was not in the box.
It annoys you. I can tell you, it upsets you.
Mad. It upsets you. Gamora being missed off loads of
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, there's a Gamora, there's Nebula. You know, one of them is daughter of Thanos. They both are daughters of Thanos.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Dave. We are speaking English. It's just a different branch of the language.
He's lost.
which you move into.
Planet.
Think about Patrick Troughton's Doctor Who. It'll keep you calm. That's important. It has to be about John Pertwee. That's important. Tessa, any questions for Richard Edwards in San Diego?
Yes. So, in terms of the San Diego Comic Con Media Fest, what can we see there? For those that say, because for me,
Tara
I'm not...
Bennett's going to be there, of course.
Really? Oh, you see, I'm without
otters, I believe.
Oh. For those that aren't really au fait with the sort of the comic scene, what can people expect?
Well, Comic Con is actually quite a misleading title because comics are just a small part of it. Comics, movies, books, TV, comedy—it's basically a big geek fest. and in fact, the things that will get the big headlines will be films and TVs TV shows that are here. And so, you know, you have Game of Thrones, Walking Dead will be here, and then Marvel will be bringing some of their movies. So they'll be showing off footage from those and bringing loads of stars. And also, then you have DC and Warner, so you'll be getting a bit of Fantastic Beasts and I think where to find them, and obviously Justice League and Wonder Woman. So it's like a first chance to see footage from big films, and also, you know, a chance for the public to actually see the stars in public in person.
Except, of course, as indeed gamesradar.com/SFX reveals, you can feast your eyes on the Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2 trailer, which has been banned from Comic-Con. What's happening there?
Well, yeah, I mean, that might be a publicity stunt. I'm not actually sure how banned it is, but the Comic-Con does sometimes have a bit of a family policy on what is shown.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just have been a bit racy, but to be honest, they might have made it a bit bizarre rated, just because they can get the headline. I haven't seen it, and I'm not sure how accurate that is, but it might be a PR stunt, but...
We're already working on the time that Glinton got invaded by zombies from outer space, but you know, people still talk about it, I believe, Annie, in the day. Back in the day when those zombies came down, Glinton's not been the same since. All their brain eating, all their sort of ways and their sort of miscreants and so on.
We've never been the same.
Katie, thoughts from yourself?
Richard, what are you most looking forward to seeing at Comic-Con?
Oh, God, that's a tricky one. I think Walking Dead would be quite interesting. After the cliffhanger at the end of season 6, how they actually do it at all, seeing as we know that the character has died, but we don't know which one. I'm just curious to see how they show anything without being a massive spoiler. And I guess Marvel's always exciting. Marvel's, you know, this is Marvel's, I guess, spiritual home for movies, and there's usually something really exciting, and they're kind of the end of the movie slate on Saturday night, so I would expect and hope that there's going to be something big from that.
Thor Ragnarok trailer yet, or is it too early?
Thor Ragnarok. I thought for a moment you were talking about Thor Van Rock, a sort of Dutch player of the 1970s.
Thor Ragnarok has only just started shooting, within the last 2 weeks, but Guardians of the Galaxy a couple of years ago, it had only been shooting for about a week, and they still managed to show footage. And they flew all of the cast over from London. So I would be very surprised if they didn't do similar and fly everybody over from New Zealand or Australia where they're shooting and show a little bit there. Mm. The thing is, with this, that they are actually such a big deal that they'll actually have been planning this for ages. So they've probably been putting special effects shots together in the background and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if we don't see a bit of Thor in action.
Yay.
Richard, would you like to give me a round between 1 and 50, please, so we can actually test the Snark family on their general science fiction knowledge from the SFX magazine's Ultimate Science Fiction Quiz Book? We could actually keep it for a nice, easy Doctor Who thing if you wish to be kind to them. But, Richard, you are the editor. What would you like us to give the combined forces of Annie, Dave and Tessa Snart, as no relation to Leonard Snart, of course, the villain from Captain Cold and the Flash. I have to make that quite clear for legal reasons. what would you like us to give them? An easy Doctor Who question or a random round from, indeed, the aforementioned 1 to 50?
Well, I'm going to say not the prisoner round because that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say round 37.
You're going to go round 37. So round 37 is cartoons. Cartoons.
Ooh, okay.
Katie can help with this. Three basic questions. First of all, who voiced C-3PO for the spin-off show Star Wars Droids? Who voiced C-3PO for the spin-off show Star Wars Droids? Clue, we've already mentioned this in one context in Richard's link so far.
Oh, God. I love C-3PO.
Okay. Would you like to help them out, Richard? You were wearing the T-shirt.
It's the same man. I don't think anyone else has ever voiced C-3PO. It's Anthony Daniels.
I shouldn't know that.
Exactly.
I think there might be one game somewhere where someone else voiced him, and I don't think Anthony Daniels is very happy about that.
let's move round to the next routine, which I would hope Tessa could actually help the parents on this one.
Oh,
what relation is She-Ra to He-Man? What relation is She-Ra to He-Man? She-Ra, He-Man. No conferring.
Is it sister?
Well, they're twins. So they're actually twins. She-Ra and He-Man are indeed twins. And finally, one for Dave, I feel. Which Hanna-Barbera... Might have heard of them. Which Hanna-Barbera family lived in Orbit City? Which Hanna-Barbera family lived in Orbit City? Oh. I could hum the song. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's on the tip of its tongue. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Think of the Flintstones, but not the Flintstones.
Jetsons.
And that's just a small snippet of the hours of fun that your family can actually have by getting hold of a copy of the SF Presents, the Ultimate Sci-Fi Quiz Book. It's kept us entertained for so long.
That's good.
You see, Richard, at the end of the day, the traditional gifts are the best gifts, you know?
Well, exactly. Yeah, 1,000 questions.
And the current edition, of course, features Star Wars with the Force in a full glorious scenario here. Latest news, of course, J.J. Abrams says Star Trek 4 will not recast Anton Yelchin's role, and Batman's solo film is rumoured to be set in Arkham Asylum. We'll follow through with our Star Trek expert, Larry Nemechek, in a few moments. Richard, it's been fabulous as ever, and we appreciate you connecting with us from the joys of San Diego. I'm not sure whether will you be hooking up with Tara, or will she be saying, no, I'm doing something completely different about SFX magazine?
No, I'm going out for dinner with Tara tonight, actually.
Well, give her our very best wishes and say we will be hopefully booking her for her reprise on the show in a couple of weeks' time, all being well, as well as obviously Otters, which they're an absolute expert in, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Critical stuff from that point of view. Tessa, go. Last two questions for Richard Edwards, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this afternoon?
It's superb.
And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
Oh, I do hope so.
That's good.
Because what we haven't sort of kept quiet is that Richard, since making his debut as a broadcasting superstar on the Madrid Drive, he's blossomed. He's got podcasts going out there. He's got all sorts of
progressed.
Things going through there. There's like an Edwards media empire that's building up on this side of things, which, you know, we'll give shameless plugs to as well. After all, Lord knows we've done it for the editor of SFX magazine, for Starburst magazine. We can do it for SFX as well. But Richard, fantastic as ever. By the way, just describe your scene now. What can you see? Are you in a hotel, or are you at the conference routine? What sort of things do you see in your vicinity?
I am about 200 metres from the convention centre. I am outside a little cafe where I'm going to have my breakfast. It's beautifully sunny.
Just like Bath then, basically.
it is probably warmer back home.
I'm sure.
I have this habit of doing it when I come out. I normally coincide with the heat wave in the UK, but it's San Diego, so.
Yeah, it's his way, you know. Somebody's got to take these hits for the team. Richard, we salute you. Larry Nemechek, hopefully up next on the Madrid Drive.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
Larry, how can it possibly be? You haven't aged. Larry, are you there? I couldn't resist it, Larry. Paraphrasing, of course, the classic, because you've just returned from shore leave. See what we did there?
I have.
Gerald.
I have, and I'm about to set sail for Comic-Con. It's a crazy time of...
We've just been speaking to somebody who's literally just outside the Comic-Con building at this moment, the editor of SFX magazine, Richard Edwards, and he's already very excited by the system there. So he's paving the way for your good self there. Wonderful stuff there. So it's marvellous. Indeed.
We're, With 150,000 people, I'll be happy for any paving the way I can get.
Good. That's what we'd like to hear. It's critical stuff from that point of view. So it's out. It's out there. And because apparently Paramount are so pleased that people are quite happy with Star Trek Beyond, they've released it early. It's all coming through there. 22nd of July is when it's officially released in the United Kingdom and Britain. I'll hopefully be catching it in Blackpool, no less, for a special exhibition that they're actually sort of having there. But it seems as though generally the worst sort of line I've heard so far from the Star Trek podcast has been it's a bit like 2.5 episodes of the classic series put together with lots of characterization. Not quite a movie, but you know, very limited plot line, but still it works okay. I don't know if you've heard any of the vibe, because he's going to see it tonight, is Larry Nemechek. Star Trek Beyond is what we're talking about. He passes.
I've heard some of that.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard some of that, but that would be an improvement over the last movie. So I'm rooting.
Yeah.
No, I saw 12 minutes at the Advance event and was really in the gut. It felt like Star Trek more than the first two movies. So I'm excited.
And fundamentally, if it feels like Star Trek in the gut, then it is Star Trek in the gut. Let's just try our sort of fine folk here. You mentioned earlier, Dave, that you were a keen Patrick Trapp Doctor Who person. What about Star Trek?
William Shatner's days, yes.
There we are.
Yep.
And
yep.
I trust you did your duty as a father by ensuring Tessa saw most of the episodes of Star Trek.
I think she was interested, to be honest.
Unbelievable.
Well, you could have made me.
Emily Jones and Hannah from Harwich, gutted by sort of comparison.
They would
Montana.
Be very...
Yeah, Hannah Montana meets the Starship Enterprise is something which could possibly be written. I mean, you know, the Doctor's sort of crossed over there in various ways. So, I mean, you're at San Diego Comic Con, Larry. You could bowl that as a pitch. You know, it's suggested. You know, as the line's coming through, important stuff.
Right. Right.
And you probably get that sort of response as well. Moving on to that point of view. I mean, we talked about the Star Trek phenomenon, and clearly we've got a new TV series that we can look forward to in the new year. But Star Trek Beyond seems to kind of be gradually generating a bit of momentum, do you feel? I mean, is the sense things that are there? People have also often been referring to this as the Kelvin timeline. The Kelvin timeline, which confused me, Larry. And as Dr. Trek, you'll be well aware of this, because I thought the Kelvins, Rogen of Kelvin and Company, were octopoid creatures from the Andromeda Galaxy. So I thought, what's going on here? As opposed to the USS Kelvin, which, of course, was the ship for Jim Kirk's father. But do you think this could be the last one? Will it sort of be comprised of three? Or, as we have just seen 6 hours ago, J.J. Abrams saying Star Trek IV will not recast Anton Yelchin's role?
Right. No, that's this is starting to feel a little bit the way Paramount felt about Star Trek IV. Well, Star Trek II and IV in the past, and this is going way back, but when they started to have the early buzz about them, and they get really confident, and they start doing more with it, and even IV was what generated the TV side of Paramount to decide to go ahead and announce the Next Generation come back on TV. Of course, we've already got that in motion now with CBS, but it feels a lot like the last stage is finally coming together, and this internal buzz, and they're looking at test audience results or whatever, test screenings, and they're putting out that vibe of confidence already. But again, what I saw before makes me feel that way, and the fact that Justin Lin, the director, everybody says, oh, Fast and Furious, he's an action guy, but he's a little Star Trek fanboy raised that way by his dad. Watching the original series as a kid, and I think people are going to be surprised, really, by and then Simon Pegg actually writing it, and he and his partner being Trek fans both themselves.
Well, as I said, in obviously the 50th anniversary year of celebrations, I've decided to drop off to Blackpool, home, of course, of Ryan Jones, who might actually be joining me at the Star Trek exhibition. Well, I've given him his ticket. I don't know whether he'll come. He may not. It depends. But hopefully I will catch that whole thing there and see the original Star Trek bridge, which is always wonderful. It's just sort of the coach seat. I go all geeky at that particular moment. Annie. Star Trek, where does it leave your good self?
Wonderful memories. Mm. Wonderful memories. And I remember going to see Star Trek even as a very young child at the pictures. And I just do think that every generation, every young child growing up has got to have a generation of Star Trek.
So Star Trek, the motion picture, or was it the one with the whales, which Larry was defining
here.
Star Trek IV, the voyage home? And in particular, are you more Kirk, Spock, McCoy?
Yeah, it's got to be Kirk.
Mm. Picard tries, and I'm having a similar hairstyle to Jean-Luc Picard these days. Clearly, you know, I'm not going to sort of work that. And then you might well say, but William Shatner wears his wig. But yeah, that's by the by. Overall, yeah, I think there is something sort of quite magical about that. In case you're wondering, Larry, CBS Action, whilst we're having this very conversation, screening a classic episode of Star Trek, which follows in the sequence the delights of That Which Survives. Comes after That Which Survives. Beauty is transitory, Doctor. I don't agree with you, Mr. Spock. Beauty survives. Which brings us to a nice little question I want to put to your good self, Larry. You might have thought, where's he going with this one? Because the question is, I'll put it to the team as well, but I suspect it's what I would consider the postgraduate question as opposed to the undergraduate question. So anyway, Larry, to handle this, exactly. What is the connection between Gotham City and Star Trek, or Gotham City, Star Trek, and the Time Tunnel?
Oh, well, yeah. If you're talking about That Which Survives.
Yes. Yeah, you see where I'm going there? And I think he's going to.
Are you asking me, or are you going to?
I think if we waited for the quartet of quality that is the midweek driver at the scene this evening, we'd probably be waiting for about 20 odd hours. But it's okay, you know, no clues. Oh. Go on, share with us.
No, it's
Larry.
It's also the connection to Barnaby Jones.
Yes,
people that love their old detective. Yeah. Oh, the lovely actress and former Miss America, Lee Merriweather.
Exactly.
Who was, one of the Catwomen on the original Batman.
Well, she was the Catwoman in the movie version of Batman, Miss Kitka.
Feature, that's right, in the feature film. Well, I throw it in the same bowl. But she's the guest star in That Which Survives.
And of course, the scientist Dr. Anne Mullall in the Time Tunnel.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
And she still hasn't had a doll made out of her for Christmas because this Waythorn. Wow. Katie's still reeling from the news that Marvel have refused to actually release any female dolls from their upcoming movies because they don't sell as well as male ones.
And Alex, if you're watching That Would Survive and you're seeing her character there, Lothira, that there's her lavenderish costume. There's a square panel that raises up above her navel because it was not planned at first. The sensors made them cover her belly button.
Yeah, you can't possibly actually have the navel exposed on American television. The country would go wild. They'd elect Donald Trump as president. I mean, for God's sakes.
What about a costume? Because obviously you get Wonder Woman and people like that. Why didn't they bring a costume out?
No navel. But costumes, yes. Cosplay is something which we have certainly gone into.
We'll have the costume.
Not quite the same, though, is it, somehow?
I suppose not.
There's definite sort of issues with respect to that. Anyway, your bonus question, Larry, haven't quite finished yet. You know, time continues on its own.
Oh.
Name one other Star Trek guest star who also has a major Irwin Allen connection.
This is similar to a trivia question I asked. No, you have, I've just gone blank, Frank Gorshin. Who played
Excellent,
the Riddler.
Absolutely, and I was also going to say Whit Bissell, of course, who was again in the Time Tunnel, and of course the Trouble with Tribbles. I'm just pulling up the photograph of indeed aforementioned Lee Merriweather, and actually there is the navel covering part of the costume.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah. Do not expose your navel on American television. Word of advice there, you know, media calls, sound and country vision, navel no go.
And then we finally had the huge social revolution that was marked by Barbara Eden on I Dream of Jeannie, and that's why she took over American television, because they finally got a naked navel.
I know. And that's what made the country the proud founding father of democracy that we still look to today. It's just genius stuff there. Larry, are you looking forward to this evening at San Diego Comic-Con? Checking out Star Trek Beyond?
Oh, yes, of course. I definitely am, and it'll be an interesting crowd there tonight, and yes.
Yeah, it'll work well. Because we have
what an awesome way to kick off the massive event that is Comic-Con.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be, I mean, do we have any Trek folk there? Because I know that Celeste Yarnell probably won't be there, but there was a rumour that it was going to leave San Diego and go to Los Angeles a few years ago. I mean, is it likely to stay within San Diego in terms of the convention centre?
It would not be the same event if it was in LA or even Las Vegas. They use that to kind of beat the local population into voting for you know, bond issues to expand the convention center down there. But it's the biggest single thing to happen to San Diego, you know, any sporting event, any anything. So if it ever does leave San Diego, it'll be a huge travail and it won't be the same event. So I don't see.
Well, you say that, Larry, but surely it could just land in Scarborough, you know, Northern England, as a way forward. I mean, you know, you've seen both. I'm rolling it out there as a possibility. You know, the San Diego Comic Con upsticks and actually converts itself to Scarborough, North Yorkshire, and the precedent, of course, Wimbledon moved from Wimbledon, London, to MK Milton Keynes and MK Dons. So. Football teams
surely
have done it.
Should travel in space and time.
Surely.
A little bit bigger pond to cross there,
Alex. Honestly, if you say it, won't be sometimes, Larry. Where's this utopian optimism that comes through on that basis? Astounding. It's so amazing. Larry, as ever, it's been a sheer wonderment, if not a surreal experience, which has certainly left the Snart family just bemused in all sorts of ways. This coming on a day where Tessa actually launched her first Sound and Country Vision programme, which you can hear actually live in a couple of weeks' time, actually, or thereabouts in early August. So great stuff there. Annie, I've got faith in you now. Daughter might not have, but I have. Would you like to ask those last two questions to Larry Nemechek, please? So has he had an interesting time? Is he coming back again?
Can you remember? Has it been an interesting link for you today?
Nicely put.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. As long as I survive Comic-Con, our Star Trek tour, and Star Trek Las Vegas the next 3-4 weeks, I would love to be back and chat with you all again.
This is the critical point.
I hope you do survive, because we'd like you to come back. Are you coming back?
Exactly. It's going to be a case of Larry en route doing his stuff there for all sorts of things. So we're probably looking, I would have thought, mid-August, Larry, when you're back with us. I mean, we'll communicate electronically.
We'll see how it goes down. Right. Yeah. Sometimes there'll be holes. There'll be windows of opportunity in there. So we'll see, Alex. But yes, definitely back.
It's when you say wormhole effect, you know. Casualties,
I would.
Doctor.
I would.
My
just don't shoot any photon torpedoes at me.
Absolutely. As if we would. Round of applause for Larry Nemechek, please.
And now, star of stage and screen, a lover of mystery, and an international citizen of the world, this is Lily Holloman.
Lily, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
We are looking...
Oh, glorious day. Kalu, Kale.
That's exactly Mimsy where the Borough Groves, as you know, the as yet unpublished title of my autobiography. Blue Swallow Motel is currently regaling your Facebook site. Pourquoi?
Oh, because next Wednesday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, Phil and I will be regaling... Mm-hmm. Club members and guests alike about our Route 66 road trip, and the Blue Swallow Motel in Tucumcari, New Mexico features prominently. We stayed there. It's the jewel of Route 66. It's a motel from the 30s that has survived the test of time and been lovingly restored. The neon is amazing. And there's 100% refrigerated air for anyone that's interested. That's what they advertise. Wow.
100% refrigerated air. The heck with global warming. It's okay as long as you've got air conditioning. That's the important thing.
Yes, exactly.
So far, we've covered the Star Trek phenomenon. We weren't quite able to go through saving the world with water. Slightly ironic. Duncan Goose couldn't quite reach us today. We found out about the Beast of Jersey and indeed touched base on the somewhat wonderful Brigadoon-esque lines of Arthur Weingarten's routine. But earlier in the production, we certainly had the official rendition of... the opening bars to a song which I know Annie is going to sing for us now. So, in your own time, with the Nick Ross Orchestra in the background, musical accompaniment, for the benefit of our transatlantic listeners, would you like to take it away?
The night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. Angels dining at the Ritz. And a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
I think that deserves another round of applause. Yay!
Woohoo! Woohoo!
See, Lily, we don't just get midweek drivettes for whom you have yet to actually do some idents. Yes, Lily Holliman and Phil Linus will be doing some extra special ident versions of the ones we've already heard on the programme. It gets so exciting. But, Lily, you'll be pleased to know that Annie is the mother of Tessa Snart, and together with Dave, the father of Tessa Snart. They are both in the studio today with Tessa Snart and Katie Dorr. So there we are.
Wow, brava, brava.
Exactly. I could have actually asked you, and in fact I should have asked you, Annie, would you have preferred the Billy Cotton and his band version, the Frank Sinatra version, the A.J. Brown version, the Fat Chops Big Band version?
There's so many. Just one that probably might have been in my key.
Yeah, exactly. We clearly actually...
That is the secret to everything. It really is in terms of singing. You got to find your key and stick with it.
Could almost be a symptom for life.
I learned that the hard way many times.
Lily, I'm sure when they actually get round to making NCIS New Orleans the musical, you will be in pole position.
Absolutely.
So that's the important thing. Anyway, it's really up to you, because normally at this stage we ask yourself or Phil to kind of critique the show. It's impossible these days because they're too busy with the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. They might catch the podcast things. We don't know. I was actually in communication with Phil this morning when it was, let's see, I think probably about 7 AR time, so it must have been 11 PM yesterday, actually. And then he said he was going to bed. So it's fine. I appreciate that. You know, in terms of that, Lily, whom would you like to speak to? Would you like to speak to the voice of the Nightingale in Berkeley Square? Annie Snart? Dave Snart? Hawaiian Magnum PI wearing shirt Dave Snart? Tessa Snart, who's just completed her first ever pretty much solo show on Siren with Sound and Country Vision?
Yes, yeah, I did.
Or Katie Dorr, who's just an all-round fabulous person. So it's up to your good self. Where do you want to take the show in the remaining 1,200 seconds that we exist in this particular pocket of time and space? Lily, over to you.
So I take it that the Snart... this is a family of musicians, is what you're saying.
Well, I'd like to think so. You know, take the Van Trapp family singers and they'll go elsewhere for that. But Annie,
like the Partridge Family.
Oh! Now, when you drop that line in, you know where I'll be heading, Lily. But, you know, it's different.
We've been known to all have, a mic in our hand and sing along at home.
We've got Tessa, we've got
Lois.
Lois.
Yes.
And
myself and David.
Four. I thought you had a brother, Katie.
So I wanted to ask a question of the whole family, which is what is it like to live in this family of musicians, and do you guys get to create and write songs together?
Certainly, when the girls were younger, I remember many times where we would sit on the couch, all of us, to put a movie on, but then we would have a pad in our hand and we would write lyrics. You've got a pad hiding away in a drawer at home where you've written, haven't you, mm-hmm. and your sister. They both Tessa and her sister play a little bit of piano, and they're David, if I can speak for you, you play keyboard. And I have tried various instruments, but I just keep reverting back to the voice. But yes, we have. We have tried writing songs. It was just a drawer at home with a pad of songs in them, but it doesn't seem to get any further than the drawer.
I feel, Lily, we really need to get the Snart family to emerge from the drawer.
Yes, from
and,
the drawer.
And in full force actually work through that whole process. I mean, Lily mentioned the Partridge Family there. Was that a line that you've encountered before? Have you gone where you...
Oh, there are times when we do get together. Yeah. I mean, particularly Tessa and Lois have got a couple of really good songs that they both duet together on. And they're really very good. She won't appreciate me saying this, but they are really very good.
I'm not the strong singer of the family. Lois is
a strong singer.
I'm more of the harmonising.
It's wonderful at harmonising.
Well, I mean, Lois does owe you, because obviously it was her 18th birthday that prevented you from actually going on location for the fabulous Countryside Links earlier in the year. Sorry, Lily, we're kind of, you know, obviously in a family issue from this particular perspective. But
So your place is the place to be for the holidays. There's a lot of Christmas.
I think they're actually available
Phil
for hire.
Phil and I are getting our tickets as we speak, and we will be there.
Very welcome.
Alternatively, for a small fee, they'll fly over to the Leonis and Holliman households and actually perform in Los Angeles. So, yeah,
it's sweet. All right.
Sort of through.
That sounds like a good option.
It does. It works all the way through there. So, with a little over 165 hours before yourself and Phil are actually presenting at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, have you got the script sorted out? Is it all ready and set to go there, Lily?
Oh, well, it's a little bit... How many days is 165 hours?
It's a little under 7 days. You know, it's 168 hours in the week.
Yeah,
so,
wow,
know.
When you put it that way, you're making me nervous.
Oh.
Phil just cut a trailer to introduce us. He put together a bunch of footage to the theme song of Route 66, the television series.
Nice, yes.
And we've got our pictures picked out, and it's a matter of we got to write the script this week, so...
If you went for the Ted Heath version, of course, not the former Conservative Prime Minister, in case you're wondering, but you know, you'd have this, you'd have... ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Los Angeles Breakfast Club the amazing Phil Leonis and Lily Holloman with their own very fine take on Route 66. Drum roll. You know, and then
I like
Lily
it.
Emerges, you know, and that's sort of way forward, really. And I'm sure if any could fly across on the Concorde, obviously we don't have Concorde now, but other sort of flights are available, you'd probably sort of, you know, do a routine for them as well, would you not, Anna?
Oh, I definitely would.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole new world, Route 66. And not 666, which of course brings us back to the Beast of Jersey, which is where we came in. It's been an extraordinary show. It really has. Any questions, Katie, you want to put to Lily about her life and times?
Oh, gosh, so apart from preparing for the Breakfast Club...
166 hours.
What else are you up to?
What else am I up to? Let's see.
How's the lizard?
I've got a gig... Huh?
How's the lizard?
I have... Oh, the lizard. Well, the lizard is doing well. We keep seeing lots and lots. They come out to greet us. They love us, the lizards. We're really big in the lizard community in Los Angeles.
Nice.
I also have a gig coming up modeling for a 1950s, 1960s tiki party at the Egyptian Theater, the American Cinematheque in Hollywood. Wow. They're doing a big South Pacific party, and I get to... be a model for the first time since I was 4 years old.
Oh, that sounds so exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got a little old school bathing suit and a Hawaiian wedding dress, wedding gown.
And, of course, photographer. Lily isn't in this photograph of Phil Leonis with his hand on one knee in the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. But what exactly is happening where we actually have hashtag participating in a morning hashtag seance at the at Los LA Breakfast Club, or as we like to call it, hashtag Wednesday? What's going on, Lily?
Well, what happened was the lady magician who came to us, she was the librarian at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, which is the largest collection of antique and current magic books and flyers from hundreds of years. And she came, she talked about the history of the Magic Castle, and then she did some tricks. And the trick that Phil participated in was a seance. She had a mini crystal ball, and she had Phil fill out a postcard with his name and address. Put the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
I thought it was where it all ended there for a moment. I thought it was all going to go, but no, name and address. That's all you actually need, clearly.
And with a snap of her fingers, a spirit actually wrote on the postcard. We have no idea how this happened, but it is the postcard he wrote on, so, and there was no writing when he wrote it, and then all of a sudden it said, "Whatever you are, be a good one." That was the message from beyond.
It's almost like a Universe Today thought, which we'll finish off with in a few seconds. But, Annie, Partridge Family, if you ever go, it's one of those nights I'll leave myself a little time. As long as there's you, I'll meet you halfway, or It's a Long Way to Heaven. What would you like to go for?
It's a Long Way to Heaven.
Good choice. Very good choice.
Storybook, pardon me if I don't take a look. Don't wanna know if we can't make the music blend and let the song sing and know the end. Then I'll be moving down the road.
Did that take you slightly back in time then?
Oh, it certainly did.
lots of housewives too, I would imagine.
I still appreciate the music that he actually gave to the world, because he paved the way for...
Clinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
As we frequently said. Lily, would you like to give us a number between 2 and 26, please?
26.
You've gone for 26. Then 26 is what the universe will provide.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration. But being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up, the universe.
Yes, without the PS as well. Still. I don't know what Phil Leonis would make of that, but there we are. It's good positive stuff. Hopefully we'll be featuring Mike Dooley again on the programme in the very near future. Tessa, any sort of final thoughts for Lily there about, you know, what should, how she's psyching herself up for the, you know, coming around to about 162 hours, 57 minutes before she's actually doing that sort of launch with Phil Leonis at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club?
Well, how on earth do you begin? How do you begin?
How do you begin?
Yeah,
to tell the story of your
order,
life?
Do you have an order, or do you just, when you feel like it, just get on with it and start, I don't know, writing anything?
Will it be improv? Will it be a case of where the heck's the lizard?
Improvisation?
Will it be the magic lizard? You know, we don't know.
Or will you be focusing on your outfit? I don't know. What are you going to wear?
several questions,
though. Oh, no, we're going to very heavily... We're going to script it very specifically because we have so much to cover that we need to figure out what's going to be necessary in such a short amount of time. We have about 50 minutes for a two-week trip, so
now,
we're going to be working on this all week. We'll keep you posted.
Does this mean, of course, because this is something which I was thinking when I realized that both Linus and Hollyman presenting and so on, LA Breakfast Club, literally just hours before, in fact, while the Midweek Drive launches at 5 p.m., will you be available for next week's program? Or will it be a case of, no, we'll be being wined and dined by the wonderful, venerable Los Angeles Breakfast Club people who will say, leave your English friends alone. They don't even know if they're in Europe or out of Europe. Leave them alone. So, political point there. Phil will be available.
There we go.
Lily is the president. Okay. Not of America yet, but that's important. So,
she would be ace.
Well, I think so. Exactly. Well, the campaign should start now. If we could vote, we would. We'd vote for Lily Holloman. But we can't, so we won't. So, Tessa, go on, last two questions, please, for Lily Holloman.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
Oh, very much. Love the links.
Oh.
I like the patties too, but the links are my favourite.
Oh, good, nice to see we did that. Very good. Actually, Lily, would you like to actually ask Tessa's mum and dad, that's Dave and Annie Snart, whether they've enjoyed their full 2-hour experience of the Midweek Drive with one of their daughter's tutors from the University of Lincoln? Go, Lily, go.
Have you enjoyed your full 2-hour epic journey with Alex Lepchik?
Speaking on behalf of myself, I certainly have. It's been an experience.
Oh, good.
And I've had a wonderful time. It's been fantastic. Thank you for having us on.
Genuine delight, as we said. You know. Some parents, they like to sit outside. We say, no, bring them in. It's all important. You know, that's the work of like part A. That sort of works with that. Great music actually sort of takes place for the rest of the evening as far as Siren's actually concerned. Lily, you will be back in the near future, no doubt?
Of course.
Excellent.
Of course. Lizard in hand next time.
Oh, yeah.
And we thank Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Arthur Weingarten, Graham Harper, William Coles, Richard Edwards, Larry Nemechek, Lily Holloman, and you, dear listener, for taking part in the production. Thanks to Tessa Snart and Katie Dorr. Katie, back again next week?
That'd be lovely.
Marvellous. And Tessa back again next month?
Yes, definitely.
But back again on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition Breakfast Show probably a week tomorrow.
Yes.
Splendid. Just marvellous stuff there. Likewise to Dave and Annie, thank you. Eric Clapton and Tears in Heaven. Oh, it's so bad. You know, take us round to Billy Joel and The Longest Time and then heaps of good stuff as we will try to work the magic, thanks to Ryan, of moving from one studio to the other without the listener knowing of any difference whatsoever.
No.
It's astounding. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.